Good evening. I'd like to call the January 29th meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the pledge to the allegiance. Pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey? Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robison?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Stein? Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Ferreira will be a couple minutes late. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
And Ms. Robertson?
Here.
12 members present.
Thank you. Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desk.
Thank you. I'd like to first start with Brian Robison for Distinguished Youth Award.
I'm going to have to admit something. It's not all the time that I'm actually looking forward to coming to these meetings. Tonight's an exception. It's my pleasure to do this month's Distinguished Youth Award. I would like to call up Joel Twitchell. He is our Distinguished Youth. He's being accompanied by his parents, Brian and Annette. And he was nominated by Groton's own utility man, a good friend of mine, Jeff Evner, who is the principal, the mayor, the athletic director. You really don't do a good job on your lawn. Jeff lives right around the corner from me. You got a little work on that. Come on up, Jeff. And I should say, Joel's two sisters, Brooke and Hope, are also in the back there. Nice of you to come. And if you want to take any photos of this or anything, just go ahead and kick somebody out of their chair or whatever you need to do. I know Joel's parents. I did not know Joel before tonight. Jeff Evner, the person that nominated him, certainly does. So I think I'll just let Jeff speak.
Thank you, Brian. As Brian said, this is Joel, our man of all trades at Groton Central School District. Highlight just some of the things that Joel does and does well, and I have a few comments afterwards of my own. Number one, he takes care of his sisters, and being the middle school principal with both his sisters in the middle school, it's nice to have the big brother in the high school to help me out when things arise, so appreciate that very much. He delivers papers in his local community. He assists with his neighbors constantly. He does pet care, lawn care. He's a member of the student council, member of French Club, member of the National Honor Society, member of Drama Club. He's also a three-sport athlete with multiple varsity letters in bowling, varsity track, varsity boys soccer. He's also, which I think he's very proud of, he's active in multiple ministries, and also he's a member of the Royal Rangers, and this spring he is about to receive the Gold Medal of Achievement, which is the equivalent of an Eagle Scout. So that's just a very small portion of what Joel does. He also sings the national anthem at a lot of our sporting events, which is fantastic. In the fall, he'd be coming or be waiting to go to varsity soccer practice or coming back from varsity soccer practice to sing the national anthem at our football games. So it was great to see that. And he's one of those kids that, as an educator, you pat yourself on the back saying, hey, you know what? We did a pretty good job with this one, but we all know where it really lies, and that's with his parents. And we certainly appreciate you allowing us to have Joel 6 hours a day plus the hours he puts in after school. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you. unbeknownst to anyone else in this room besides myself and Joel, we have a bit of a surprise right now. If everybody could please stand up for the singing of our national anthem.
That's good. I was going to ask. Okay.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Now, would anyone like to hear me sing?
Yes.
Tomorrow.
That is funny. It'd be more funny if I actually did it. And did you notice there was no lip sync?
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Now I'm seeing that fucking control.
Can we offer up your services to Alicia Keys for the Super Bowl? She'll be performing it there. Obviously, growing up in Groton, I'm very proud of the school district, very proud of all the kids, and I'm very proud that we have a young man that's obviously very well accomplished. You know, his parents are very, very involved in their lives. I know that they are. And he's really got a bright future. And I thank you, Jeff, for bringing such a great story and a great young man before us for this award. I have to apologize. There was a problem with... you actually get a plaque, a whole bunch of other stuff that is not ready. So you got that going for you. But we will certainly get it to you. When you do get it, it is going to be a cooperative effort, and this award's given by A&B Engraving, Bang's Ambulance, Purity Ice Cream, the Cuga Radio Group, and us in the legislature. I know you can sing. I'll bet you can speak. If you'd like to say a few words, please do.
Well, there's not much I can say about myself that hasn't been said, but I will say thank you very much to the legislature for giving me this award. It's very encouraging to myself, to me, to continue in the things I already do. I'd also like to thank Mr. Ebner and the school that I go to that is so wonderful. It gives me so many opportunities to be part of so many things. I'm one of the students, I'm the type of person that I like to take those opportunities and use them to my full advantage to really both enjoy those advantages and also help other people in the process. I'd also like to thank my family, my mom and dad especially. They've been, well, whenever I'm busy, that means they're busy. And so I just want to thank them for everything they've done for me. And so when I do these things, I hope to possibly encourage other students to participate in these things as well, and I guess I just can't find enough things to do. So once again, thank you very much. I will also be attending Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida, going into missional ministries. And so thank you very much once again for this award.
If you want to see Joel really perform, Music Man is playing at Groton High School March 14th, 15th, and 16th, and he is the Music Man.
And that concludes us. Again, thank you, Joel and Annette, Brian, Jeff. As you can see, obviously a really fine, good man, and we wish you all the luck in your future endeavors, and thanks for coming.
And Joel, you can come back and sing anytime when you're not busy enough.
Oh, that's right, Martha. I was going to ask for a do-over when the plaque is here.
Yeah, there you go.
Request America the Beautiful. I mean, you know.
Thank you, Brian, too. Wonderful to meet you all. Thank you. And Jeff, if you'll stay around for the municipal officials report, I want to see. I want to see first if there are any members of the public who would like to address the legislature.
Really nice choice. Really great, yeah.
Then we go right to you, Jeff, Mr. Mayor. Wonderful. I guess you wear quite a few hats. And,
yes.
In Groton, that's great.
Yeah, I do. I do. Middle school principal, athletic director, and mayor. And the mayor part is probably the most frustrating. And you can imagine being a middle school principal, you think that'd be the most frustrating, but that's the easy part. I'd like to just give you a quick update. Brian invited me down this time. Frank invited me down last time, so it's great to be back. I really appreciate the opportunity to show off our community, the Village of Groton. What I'd like to start off is, I'm not sure everyone's familiar with the Village of Groton and what it is and what it's about. It's a community of about 2,400 people. It's encompassed by the town of Groton, which is another 2,500 citizens or so, according to the last census. In the village alone, we have our own electric utility with an electric department. We have our Department of Public Works. We just built a multi-million dollar wastewater treatment plant. We have a police department that runs upwards of 1,300 calls a year, which is more than I assumed. We have a fire department that also runs an ambulance service. They run upwards of 800 calls a year. We also have a court enforcement office. So things are constantly happening in the Village of Groton. And all those things run under the leadership of our wonderful department heads. Without them, our community and our services wouldn't be what they are. And my job as mayor and the other four trustees, our job wouldn't be so easy as it wasn't for them. They do a phenomenal job. My hat's off to them all the time, and we couldn't ask for better people to head our department. So that's just kind of a quick overview. Just some hot topics that we've been dealing with at the board level. As far as current local laws, we've just gone through the process of changing some of our zoning codes to better match some of our properties to what we feel would be more conducive to welcoming businesses, especially in our industrial park. We had a fish farm up there a few years ago. We got a huge building that's zoned agricultural. It was really not conducive to opening it up to anybody else. So we recently changed that to commercial, which was overwhelmingly voted on by the board, and hopefully we can draw other businesses into our industrial park, which is on New York State Route 22 as you leave the Village of Groton towards Cortland. We found out today that in the spring, Challenge Industries will be breaking ground in our industrial park, building a facility there, which we're really, really excited about. Can't wait for that to get up and running. It's going to be a beautiful complex. It's a smaller scale than what they originally planned, but you know, like I say in the village, we'll take anything. A couple of things also on our agenda recently is we just voted overwhelmingly to potentially override the tax cap, as you guys deal with every single year as well. We voted to override last year. We came within $675 of not going over the cap. So my hat's off to our village clerk for helping us out with that. We're also looking at, and hopefully we'll have something to vote on very soon, some nuisance abatement legislation. One of the major concerns in our community is the condition of some of our commercial properties. And also the amount of resources that the village has to pour into these certain properties, commercial properties throughout the village. So the citizens have spoke loud and clear in our community about what they perceive to be our major issues, and this is one that is constantly number one on their agenda, so therefore it's number one on our agenda. So I'd like to kind of open up the questions now. Does anybody have any questions about the Village of Groton? I hope I can answer them. If not, I'll get back to you. But again, I appreciate you having me. Thank you, Brian, for always supporting us and representing us well each and every day. It's nice to know someone on the county legislature, but it's also nice to be a friend of someone on the county legislature. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Any questions? Frank.
Jeff, thanks for coming down again.
Sure.
I want to put my hat on as the Water Resources Council chairman. I know that the village, this may or may not apply to the village, but it may, because you have a municipal water supply there. We've been very interested in having the town participate in an aquifer study and try to get the town perhaps to help move it forward. If you can help us out, Groton is one of the few towns that has not had one done, and it would be really helpful to complete the circle if we could. And if you have any inroads with the town individuals, it would be really helpful if you could spur them on. Faye Benson is our liaison to the town, and it would really give us a shot in the arm if they could participate.
I'll certainly talk to Supervisor Mori and see what I can do for you.
The other thing is, everybody was giving the young man that came to receive the Distinguished Youth Award a chance to speak and talk about you and his parents and everything. This is your opportunity to tell us something about Brian and whether he cuts his grass.
Unfortunately, he makes us all look bad when it comes to cutting our grass. So he's out there religiously, mows in diagonals, mows in different directions. Looks like a baseball field over there.
Does he have a putting green there, too?
I think so. Not that helps. I've seen him on a putting green, but...
Carol.
Kudos to Groton for doing what you do with your own energy development. In today's era, that's just with a lot of foresight, and on your new wastewater treatment. I don't know how old it is, but I'm wondering if you've encountered just a cautionary word about encountering anybody attempting to deposit brine water from fracking areas of Pennsylvania. It's something that we hear about. We have occasion here to talk to our colleagues from other places, particularly south of here, and it is something that we're feeling we need to be cautious about.
One thing that we wrote into our local laws that allows us to run a wastewater treatment facility is that no water from fracking is allowed in our facility. So it's written in our law, and it just simply won't happen.
Great. That's great. Thank you. Peter and then Mike.
The comment you made about the commercial nuisance code, are these residential properties that you're talking about, or... what are the major provisions that are in that code?
Well, it's right now it's in draft form. It's in the hand of our village attorneys, but it mainly deals with commercial properties. We have property maintenance codes to deal with simply residential properties, but we really don't have much that deals with commercial.
Okay, thank you.
Mike?
Groton is probably about as far from Ithaca as any of the municipalities, and we do have public transportation that goes out there. Wondered if you're hearing anything from your constituents. Are they pleased with the public transportation that TCAT provides? Does it need improvement, or are you not hearing anything?
One of our village board members is a frequent passenger on TCAT, and my brother-in-law's mother is a frequent rider of TCAT, and they are very pleased with the service. Very pleased.
Great. That's good to know. And Betty Conger is your trustee, one of your trustees, correct? And
that is
she's
correct.
Very active on the TCOG board.
Yes.
Really appreciate that she's been very frequent, at, you know, like constant presence there, and it's great to have her.
Great.
So we appreciate her
along.
Time. Yeah, absolutely. Any other questions? Thanks so much, Jeff. Appreciate your coming down.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate
Come
your
anytime.
Time.
Oh, Brian. Yeah. Brian, was that a question or a wave?
No.
That was a wave. Okay. You can work on his grass while you're there. All right. Thank you all. And I see that Sean Marcel Moore has stepped into the back here. I'd like to go out of order a little bit and ask Joe if you'd like to, you have a report to make.
I do. I'm going to bifurcate my report and do the first part of it now. If you checked your emails today, this will not come as a surprise to you, but for those of you who didn't, you may be surprised that our human rights director, Sean Marcel Moore, has accepted a position, a very high-level, responsible position in New York City, and will be resigning her title in Tompkins County at the end of this month. I asked Sean to be here tonight because I know many of you have very strong feelings about her and appreciate the work she has done in a very difficult part of county government. And she's been here since 1999. She's been able to handle this very difficult position extraordinarily well, but beyond that, she has been really an excellent ambassador of this county and this community, really across the world. She's currently the head of the International Association of Human Rights Agencies. She's served on national boards. She has been active at the state level, the regional level, and certainly within Tompkins County, where she has done a million things, including chairing the Cooperative Extension Board. I believe she was chair of the Human Services Coalition. Is that correct? At one point, has remained active in it. And has been involved in a number of local organizations. She's been vice chair of WDIC for a very long time. So she has served with absolute distinction here and has also brought, I think all of you know, a certain level of contagious energy and enthusiasm and dedication to the job. And I use that word contagious intentionally because when she's around, it lifts the energy level of the organization. And she's had a very positive effect that goes well beyond the boundaries of her department, and she will be very missed by all of us who work with her. I should probably let her tell you what her job is, but it's such a mouthful I can't resist because I'm trying to figure out how to get it on a business card. She will be an assistant director for the Metropolitan Transportation Authority in New York City, and her title will be Assistant Director for Equal Employment Opportunity and Title VI Compliance. So, again, it's an assistant director-level position, very responsible, in an organization that has a significant influence on one of the largest population centers in the world. So it's critical to the functioning of that community. So I think we will all want to take credit for all this good stuff that Sean has learned while here and is taking to New York City to benefit millions of people down there. I know you want to wish her success and happiness. I've done that on behalf of our department heads. They will have more opportunities. But I did want an opportunity to make this announcement public tonight and for Sean to be here to accept our appreciation for the work that she has performed over the last 13 years in the county. I should say, in closing, she's not only served as human rights director, but there was a period of time for about 4 years where she not only did that, but she was also a deputy county administrator. So she was really juggling and balancing two high-profile positions within the county. So I did want to get that out to you tonight, and I'm especially appreciative that Sean is here to be able to say goodbye, although you're going to be here for another month or so. Is that correct?
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Sean. You want to say a few words?
I just want to say I just thank all of you for the opportunity for being here. Over the past several years, and the challenges, the rewarding work that I've had, and all the lovely people I've worked with, I think it's prepared me for this particular position. And Joe's teasing me because when I looked at the job description, I thought it was really, really me, but I told him, yes, the title is really long because it's the Assistant Director for EEO and Title VI Compliance for MTA, MTA Bus, Bridges, Tunnels, and Construction Programs. So I was like, oh my goodness, you know, but the job description itself, I said, you know, being here for the number of years that I've been here and also my prior military experience, I really feel like I'm prepared to return home because that's what I'm doing. I'm returning home And for those of you who know, I lost my sister last year, so it's been very, very difficult for my family. My mother is suffering from Parkinson's disease, so I'm going home to help and be back in the, you know, back in the loving arms of my family, and hopefully I can help out there as well as enjoy my new place in New York City. So I just want to thank all of you for the opportunity here, and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you. Be around.
Yeah. Don't go away, Sean. I think people will want to add their own thoughts. I am very saddened to see you go, but it sounds like a perfect fit and perfect time, and it sounds like a wonderful opportunity. It's really been a pleasure to work with you, and you've done such a great job with the office under really tough constraints, budget constraints, and everything else. We will deeply miss you. You better come back for the Sister Friends lunch is all I can say. So.
I already got the bill out here. So. Happy already today.
Good. Good. Well, it is, we're delighted for you. And I guess this means that we have somebody else to visit when we go to New York City for whatever we do. So thank you so much. So that leads me right into legislative privilege of the floor, so let's just open it right up. Frank and then Carol.
Yeah, Sean, I want to personally thank you for the help over the years in some situations that with regard to landlord-tenancy things. That's been very helpful. You're even though you'll be 5 hours, 4.5 hours away, the MTA visits Ithaca quite often. those of us that are directors at TCAT, there's a couple of representatives that come up in the summer, particularly when we have events here, and there are MTA reps that come. So you may be here more often than you really, who knows, right? Good luck. And by the way, one thing that Joe forgot to mention in his write-up or his remarks, Sean is a Navy veteran, and some of us know that, and we appreciate that. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank
Give,
you,
leave your phone number, will you?
Well, phone number is still the same for now.
Carol.
Yeah, I want to add my thanks. I think that you were one of the very first when I got elected, you know, out of cycle to invite me in and explain what you did and be very thorough about it. And I appreciate what you did then and what you've done ever since. I was going to ask my question for you is to leave your contact information in New York. I've got this cute little granddaughter in New York who I visit a lot, and this is probably a little early for you to expect a question like this, but I take both the subway and the bus quite frequently, and there's a number 8 bus that runs along 8th and 9th Streets, and it's a great bus, but it only runs during the week. It only runs during the week and not on weekends. Can you do something for me? And seriously, good luck.
Thanks, Carol. Anyone else? Kathy?
I'd like to make a motion that we refuse to accept this. There's a number of reasons. Sean has been exemplary in her performance. She's been, as has been mentioned, somebody that lights up the room, and her professionalism is tempered by her compassion and the way that she puts a lot of thought into everything she does. I've been honored to work with her, and definitely personally as well as professionally we'll miss you a lot, Sean, but I also grudgingly understand your need and respect your decision, and I also want to thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you, Kathy. Louise Leslin, then Brian.
I'm sure most people around here probably know that Sean is a very good friend of mine. And we've had this running bet for, I don't know, 3-4 years now of who's going to leave first. I don't like losing. I don't.
seriously, Sean, congrats. I'm really proud of you and your new role. I am not going to, well, let me say this. You came to the Human Rights Office, and I was in the Human Rights Office for a short period of time and saw how much you sort of rose the level of not just expectations, but respect for the Human Rights Office and the work that you did there, and the staff as well. And you did it in a way that was not with a heavy hand, but with a kind of leadership that says we're all part of this, and the kind of leadership that made people want to come to work and feel like you're part of a family, yet get the work done. So I really appreciated that about you, and something that I will certainly try to model in everything I do. So I want to thank you for that. But I also want to acknowledge that you are one of two, maybe, might be three, department heads of color we've had in this organization. It's a crying shame. And we're losing you. So we have work to do. Yes, Joe, you know what I said it. You know. And hope we don't lose sight of that fact, that we are losing a department head of color, a stellar employee of color in this organization. And for me, just a strong black woman, 22 plus years of being in the military or military service is nothing to sneeze about. And you did that as well as your job here and so many other things that you've done for this community. And I personally am very, very thankful. And if you don't hear it from the community, I'd say it on behalf of the community how thankful we all are for you being here.
Thank you, Leslie. Brian and Pam.
Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah. Well, Leslie pretty much said it all.
Sorry.
I just wanted to add my thank you. You really have been wonderful workers, and we are the ones who are losing in this deal by losing you. And I certainly wish you every success in New York. I'm sure you'll do well. Sounds like it's where you should be right now. So, good luck.
Martha, may I just say that the occasional legislature meetings I might miss is because I'm in New York with Sean. So blame it on her already.
I don't know.
Please, excuses are already on the table.
All right. Brian, and Dooley, then Pat.
Thanks, Martha. Just a couple of quick things. I see people like fidgeting in their chairs because of all the gratin stuff you heard earlier in the meeting, but we must stay and complete this. But on Saturday, you're all welcome to come up. There is a Gratin Winter Fest. It's a huge event with contests, food, crafts, games for kids, dog sled rides, maybe. We'll see. We'll see about the sun. Or snow, I'm sorry. Bonfire, chicken barbecue, you get the idea. Runs from 10 a.m. all the way to 8 p.m. One other thing I do want to mention, Sunday, this coming Sunday, is, again, the biggest sporting event of the year. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Hopefully everybody is acting very responsibly in terms of driving and so forth. It looks like there's two pretty evenly matched teams. It would be a good idea if you would root for both, but I'm not gonna. Go Ravens.
Thank you. Take the over, 47.
Nice hat. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Dooley and then Pat.
Turning back to Sean, I am very glad that we've been able to keep a local human rights office, particularly because of the level of professional legal competence that you have brought to it, and our residents have been very fortunate to be able to have you here. We've all been fortunate. The MTA is an entity with lots of problems. I think they can use you too.
Thank you, Billy. Pat?
There's not much I can say to beyond what's already been said. I just want to echo especially what Leslyn has said. Sean, it's been a great pleasure to know you. I was a member of the Human Rights Commission when Sean, in the early days of her tenure, and I personally observed the professionalism that she brought to that office and to the manner in which it conducted its business. And it was an inspiration to me. I learned a lot during those years when I was on the commission about how an organization like the Human Rights Commission can contribute to human rights and justice, social justice, here in this community. And you will be missed. Mike?
I've got to add also that as an attorney, I've watched Sean over the years, and she's always been well-grounded in the law and an inspiration for us in a difficult job. And I can't say that for every lawyer I know, but I can say that for Sean. And then I have something else I'd like to speak about tonight, and that's our Civil War Commission. We have two events coming up I want to make you aware of before our next meeting. Actually, this Sunday, in addition to the big Ravens game, and before that game, if you go to Cinemopolis at 1:30 on Sunday, you can see a showing of The Red Badge of Courage, which is part of our reading that we've been doing in the community about that book. And it's donation only. It's through the help and generosity of the folks at Cinemopolis. And we'd like to see a nice turnout there to see that. So come see that movie and then go home and party and enjoy the Super Bowl. The other event that I want to tell you about is going to happen on February 11th. That's a Monday. And it'll be the next in our lecture series. And it will be at the Borg Warner Room of the Tompkins County Public Library at 6 p.m. Professor Joel Silby will come and speak to us about Northern Democrats during the Civil War. We hear a lot about President Lincoln and the Republicans, but what were the Democrats doing in the Northeast at that time? And so we're looking forward to that interesting lecture.
Thanks very much, Mike. Anyone else? Kathy Luce.
I just want to tell people about a bit of news that I got today. I don't know how many of y'all have heard about or aware of the annual Common Council Award of the J. Diane Sams African American Month Recognition. This is the month, and I'm going to embarrass our colleague and friend here by saying that one of our own, Leslyn McBean Claiborne, and J.R. Claiborne, who serves on the Common Council, they've both been selected this month to receive this prestigious and community award that's given with love. I'll tell you why it's given, but first I'm going to say 6 p.m., Common Council Chambers, February 6th. I'll say it again later. It says, please join us to honor Leslyn and J.R. for their dedication, advocacy, and leadership on behalf of the needs of our community residents, particularly those that are underrepresented and disenfranchised. This is a big deal. I think it's well-deserved. She joins the ranks of Professor Turner, and knowing that it's named after Diane Sams is of particular emotional content for all of us, but I'm sure no one more than for Leslyn. I'm very proud of her, and I know I will be there, and I urge all my colleagues and everyone in the public who hears about this to come to Common Council Chambers February 6th. It's Wednesday at 6 p.m., and guess what? After the ceremony, there's going to be a reception at North Star, okay? So let's make it a party. Much deserved recognition.
Congratulations, Leslyn. Yeah. That's great. Kathy, thank you. Just scooped the local media, which actually doesn't take much work. excuse me. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pam.
Actually, the first time I met Leslyn was through Diane Sams. I served with Diane on Common Council. And And it is a wonderful honor, and I know that Leslin knows that because Diane was a force of nature.
Yes, she was.
She was not to be denied, and she was somebody who worked in spite of all her physical ills. She just pushed forward, and Leslin, I think that the same thing could be said for you and JR. So I think it's well deserved. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Martha. One more item, and I just wanted to, as chairman of the Health and Human Services Committee, I just wanted to thank all of you that were able to come to the COFA ribbon cutting that took place last Friday. I'm sure Joe and Martha probably will have something else to add to that or say about it, but I think Marsha Lynch deserves a real pat on the back for all of the work she did in getting the word out and getting all the people there. I know Lisa is overjoyed. We told her to not make duplicates of the keys. So, but I think all of you that were there really enjoyed the event, and it's a beautiful facility. If you haven't had a chance to go through it, please do. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Anyone else? Well, I just have one other thought, Sean. The dragon boat race where you were the drum, what was the word, the drummer. I mean, we needed to like stay on your beat. That was, you're awesome. That was a lot of fun. And I think that was the last time we did that.
Does she know
where's the green dragon? Maybe you know. I don't know. I'm sure the city has it. Leslin, would you check with JR? That green dragon.
Hiding their dragon.
So yeah, we'll miss you, Sean. It's been a joy and a privilege to work with you. So, best of luck. Not much else of a report to make. As you know, the NISAC conference is next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Which is why we're meeting tonight. And so we'll have some stories from that, I imagine. The state budget doesn't seem, maybe Joe will make some comments, but it seems like not a lot of headlines that really relate to us as we were, as we assumed. They did mandate relief last time. There's really nothing in there about mandate relief except for this pension scheme? I don't know. Plan, proposal about how to pay for our pensions. So there's really not the kind of mandate relief that we ever really thought would save us actual money. So, but Joe will talk more about that. I would announce only that the Congressman Reed, Tom Reed, will be having a town hall meeting in the town of Dryden Town Hall. That's West Main Street, which is, you go through the traffic light, keep going west, it's on the left, about a mile, on this Saturday, February 2nd at 12:30. So the public is encouraged to go and meet Congressman Reed. It's the first town hall he's having in Tompkins County. So I hope we will be there to welcome him. That's my whole report. If there are no questions, then we'll go to County Administrator Joe Mariano.
Thanks, Martha. I'm just going to spend a little bit of time, not very much tonight, to give you the first take on the state budget, some of the things that seem pertinent to us. We'll spend much more time in the budget committee going through the details. And I think some of you, if not all of you, have seen some of the NISAC documents, so you have a pretty good sense. I tried to pull out things that seem most relevant to us. Martha talked about the pension plan. We're still trying to figure that out. A couple of highlights there. It is an optional plan. Nobody has to jump into this. The idea is to smooth pension costs over time. It looks like what the intent is to take some of the savings that are anticipated from tiers 5 and 6 that won't happen for another 10, 15, 20 years and bring some of the benefits of those savings forward and then smooth out the costs. The pension rate in the first, it goes in 5-year blocks. First 5-year block pension rates would be 12%. Under the governor's plan. For perspective, they're currently a hair over 20%, expect to go to 22% of salaries next year. So it would save in the front end the equivalent of 10% of payroll, which for us is going to be in the $35 to $40 million range. That's payroll 10% of that is $3.5 to $4 million total. The state has put out some estimates of impact, according to the state, and the numbers look to be fairly close. State says we would save $4 million in the first year, which is 2014, and $13.9 million over the next 5 years. But if you've seen the charts, you know that there are savings in the front years, and those lines cross at a certain point. Depends on your assumption when those lines cross. You save up front, you lose in the back. But what we'll be doing is taking a look at those numbers and coming back to you with our suggestions about how to approach it. It'll be a good topic of conversation. By the way, the state also projects the city would save $2.6 million next year and then $9.3 million over the next 5 years. Again, five-year blocks, adjusted every 5 years. You can opt out whenever you want, but if you opt out when you're still in the savings phase of this, you got to pay back those savings. So there's a lot of trap doors. There's a lot of things about this. Before we really apply any judgment, we really need to understand the details, and we'll be taking time to do that. We don't need to rush into a decision. Decision doesn't have to come until, I think it's next February. A couple other things of interest in there. This is good news. It's not in the governor's commercials yet, but we think it's good news about his budget anyway. The two-year renewal of sales tax, the extra 1%, would go away. Governor said that's just a waste of time and money. So the every two-year grind where we have to go back and have the state reapprove the 1% sales tax would go away under the governor's plan. There's a couple of improvements in the early intervention program, mostly to encourage third-party insurers to come up with some of the costs of early intervention as opposed to county taxpayers. There's some additional audit powers in there. I don't think it's anything of huge consequence to us, but again, we'll go through all the details. We've talked before about binding arbitration and how it sunsets this year. It does indeed sunset. The governor's proposed that the binding arbitration law that allows uniformed employees, in our case road patrol deputies, to declare an impasse, go to binding arbitration. The governor has proposed extending that law for another 4 years. But in the case of what are called distressed employers, there are limitations on how much the arbitrator can award in terms of wage growth. As I read it right now, it looks like there's a 2% cap on the increase, and I think that includes fringes. What we're not sure about yet is whether we would be considered a distressed community or not. It's based on full value, our full value tax rate compared to others. Even that's not clear if it's other counties or other municipalities like cities and towns. And also fund balance levels. So you have to pass one of those two tests to prove that you're distressed, in which case there are limitations on, again, how much an arbitrator can award. Last couple of items, small. CHIPS, we always look at CHIPS, that highway improvement money. Stable, again, for the upcoming year. That's really good. Although with every passing year, a flat allocation means less mileage can be paved because the cost of asphalt and those materials goes up. And I just talked to, got an email from Jay Franklin. We're beginning to get into the fine print now. One of the things in the fine print that he's found is a new, it's called the STAR Anti-Fraud Protection Program. To root out, I guess, cheaters. But the administrative burden that goes along with that is anybody who currently gets a STAR exemption has to re-register for those exemptions. Last time we went through this wholesale re-registration process, it consumed a lot of time and money. Jay estimates it will cost us $40,000 of our own staff time to be able to process that new state approach to the STAR program. So there are a lot of other things in the details. Again, we'll plan to report to Budget Committee on those details. And if anything significant comes up along the way, we'll certainly notify the full legislature. So that's the first take on the state, the governor's proposed state budget.
Thanks very much, Joe. I would add a comment. Mayor Miner, Stephanie Miner from Syracuse, was on YNN last night, and she's been skeptical about this proposal for the pensions. And she made the important point that the supposed savings depend on how, you know, whether you're going to actually replace people who are retiring or who are retiring now. Are you replacing your employees who are Tier 5 or less with new Tier 6 employees? And she said, that, for example, they're not. They're replacing maybe one of every four or five who leave. So you really can't, and we're in a similar situation, so you really can't calculate savings unless you know what those kinds of assumptions are. How many, you know, are you actually replacing folks? You know, how many people would retire and when? She said most of their people are staying longer than anticipated, so they, you know, because of the economy. So basically, I mean, I think the controversy about her comments is probably overblown. She's basically saying it's really a complicated calculation as to whether it actually, whether the savings match up to what are advertised, and then obviously what happens, you know, down the road, and when you're still paying 12% and it actually would otherwise be 5 or whatever. So, and how long does that go on? So I think that is, it's a wise caution to really look at the details on that. So so Dooley, Frank, Carol, we'll go around. Okay, start with Dooley.
Thank you for that brief update. The fund reserves that a municipality needs to be below to be distressed is 5%, as I remember.
That's correct.
So that would not affect us. So it's the other one that's so crucial for us, and it doesn't sound good to me.
Well,
but I hope it will work.
Yeah.
So thank you for looking into it.
I think the city is in the right category. Cities.
And if we compare ourselves against other counties, I just did a quick run tonight. Mm-hmm. I only looked at 1 year. It's based on a 5-year average. I looked at 1 year. We might be in the 75th percentile. Mm-hmm. So, again, all these things, we need to get a greater understanding of what the details are and then be able to put these things to the test. So.
Okay. Frank.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Joe, the in reviewing his budget proposal, we, as the outgoing budget committee chair for TCAT, his proposal would for the STOA money would keep the amount that TCAT receives the same, so there was no hit on TCAT. Now, of course, the budget isn't approved yet, so there could be changes, but we'll keep you posted as to whether there is any change on that. We circulate the chairmanships, so I'll still be on the budget committee. The other is the governor's proposal also keeps the surcharge on our utility bills. That was supposed to expire after 5 years, and his proposal renews it for another 5 years. So if you thought you were going to get any relief on your NYSEG bill, which NYSEG doesn't have anything to do with, if the budget goes through the way he's proposed it, that is a consumer issue more than anything else. Thanks.
All right, I think I saw Carol, and then Will, and then Jim and Mike.
Yeah, so this is on the pension offer. Mm-hmm. The last time the state offered to lend us all money, it was, I think, at 8% when the market was at 3 or 2 or less. So I would look really carefully at that, especially since we do manage to balance our budget. There are municipalities and counties out there that really aren't, that are really dug in a hole where they're borrowing to pay these pension costs. And since we're so far, knock on wood, are not there, I would look at that really carefully before we agree to do it. And the question I have about is are they talking about this an all or nothing proposition? You either do your whole pension payment that way or
yes.
You continue the current method, or can you choose to take $1 million or some other amount?
I believe it's all or nothing. I don't know that this will exclude the current amortization option. Right now you can borrow a certain amount of your pension. This is similar but still different. So my belief is right now we've chosen not to amortize, and I think that was the right decision. It would really be, do we want to continue to pay the rate as it comes in each year, or do we want to go for the flattened approach that the governor's proposed? And you can't take, that's an all or nothing. So you can't take a piece of it and spread some and not the rest of it.
Do you know what rate once you get out into
years? Well, it's so much different than the current amortization program. So I guess the short answer is no.
And I think when Martha talked about some of the issues that have arisen or questions that have arisen, those are the kinds of things that people are going to want to know about. I think when you look at the way the numbers go, it's a much different structure than what we've seen before. For that reason, there's some appeal to it, and I don't like these creative financing things generally. The question that we're going to want to look at is, if we were to take savings and invest them in specific ways, for example, if we paid cash for capital instead of borrowing, so you reinvested that savings today to produce long-term savings later on that might offset the additional pension costs, that might be smart management. But it's so early, we don't know if that makes sense.
Thanks. Will?
Thank you, Martha. Joe, I have a question that you may or may not have heard about, but it's another part of the governor's budget. I heard today at a meeting I was at that there is a proposal to essentially eliminate or greatly curtail the ability of localities to use abatements for sales tax on projects. Have you heard anything about that?
Only that was a topic, and I have no details on that at all, Will. But I have that has been a part of the buzz, that was the way they were going to improve their own revenues and in turn do ours, by plugging what they would call loopholes.
But that could really remove a tool that we've been able to use for...
In the economic development, especially, because one of the exemptions would be the exemption that businesses apply for when they go to the IDA, a sales tax exemption on construction materials. That's the one that we've heard about.
And not for this reason, but we happen to have Michael Stamm here. Michael, do you know what those proposals look like?
The governor's proposal is to do away with the IDA's ability to exempt the state portion of the sales tax on a certain class of projects. So it would remove our ability to do that for retail commercial projects, for example, in our urban core. We could still offer them to our traditional manufacturing projects, but if we were going to try to deliver sales tax abatement to a manufacturing project, it would have to be approved by the regional council, and then it have to be approved by the ESD president, Ken Adams, and it looks like it would be a reimbursement rather than an upfront abatement. So the bureaucracy associated with it would be quite intensive. There's quite a few groups very intent on opposing this, including my statewide association, as well as any group involved in downtown redevelopment. So there's a lot of opposition to that particular part of the governor's budget.
Michael, does that include local tax, local sales tax as well as state?
No, his proposal would not impact the ability of IDAs to abate the local share of the sales tax. Ironically, they are proposing hotspots where the state would then abate local property taxes where we wouldn't have much influence there. So it's some irony there.
I was going to ask you about that. Does that mean the state would pay the local property tax, or we just don't get it?
We just don't get it, is my understanding.
No, you're kidding.
That's my understanding.
The state just says to us, we can't collect that tax, and they don't pay for it.
I believe that's the case, although the rules and regs have yet to be written.
Maybe it'd be great if you would write up a summary of budget issues that we might take to Albany on Monday. I'd appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Wait, while he's up there.
Carol, let me come back to you, okay? Michael's not going anywhere. I have Jim, Mike, Peter, Brian.
Martha, I had the opportunity to watch that show from beginning to end with Mayor Miner and County Executive Joni Mahoney, and it was like an incredible adventure because we have a Democratic mayor who's the head of the state committee, a Republican county executive who endorsed the governor, and they were playing a wonderful game. The mayor, I believe, is right in saying, because she had mentioned someplace publicly about bankruptcy for cities in upstate New York, and it all seemed to stem off that. The interesting item that Joe mentioned that I was interested in was the interest ARB number of 2%, which would greatly have an impact on cities that were in distress if that actually came to pass. For us, I don't think it would make much difference. And what was especially interesting was the county executive was saying, yes, the city's in tough shape, but we're okay, and blah, blah, blah. And the poor reporter really didn't know which way to go. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing to me is that the governor's plan seems to be focused toward cities that are under stress in upstate New York, and counties, not so much. So I think if anyone is able to check their TV, go back and watch that, it was pretty a really good discussion on each one of those very important people in Central New York's view on the governor's budget.
Yeah, I honestly, I think that the whole idea, this whole pension thing, is a reaction to perhaps NYSAC and others saying there was no mandate relief, you know, that Tier 6 wasn't mandate relief because it was going to take effect so many years down the road. And so they scrambled and said, well, we got to do something, and we're going to call this mandate relief. So just an aside. Mike?
On the same topic, because I think it's really important to us. So first of all, I'm glad to hear Joe say that we're going to take a serious, hard look at this, and that's what we do in Tompkins County. We take a real good look. We don't take a knee-jerk reaction to anything. But we really want to make sure that this would be good for us, because it's a long-term commitment here. Not only has Mayor Miner spoken about this, but I understand that Comptroller DiNapoli, who is the sole trustee of these pensions, is very worried about this and may not be on board with the governor's proposal at this point. And if that happens, this proposal may just die of its own accord. Mayor Bloomberg was quoted, although his pension plan is not part of this, was quoted as saying that anytime you take longer to pay off a debt, it always costs you more money. And so that's something we need to think about. I think back a few years ago, when a prior legislature voted to securitize our tobacco payments because there was a big worry that tobacco companies were going to go bankrupt, which they never did. In fact, they're doing very well now. So we sold off some of our bonds to the securitization program, which is going to last for a long, long time. We did get some money for capital improvements, but over the long run, we could have borrowed that money, particularly now with fairly low rates, and still had the cash from the tobacco companies coming in. So that's something you have to make a judgment about, and that's sort of the kind of thing we'll have to look at here.
Thanks, Mike. Peter, Brian, Carol, Pam.
Well, we're never going to get off this, are we?
What's important?
I've been piling up a couple of questions for Joe, some of which got answered, but then that raised other questions. So in order, question one, is the city of Ithaca considered to be a city in distress? That's just required, yes or no, but is that?
My sense is yes.
Yes.
Their reserves are fairly low, and I bet their tax rate is higher than average.
Yeah, okay, that's one question. Another question, this highly publicized move of the governor not to require an annual or whatever it is, every 2-year renewal of the sales tax. I just wondered, is that essentially automatic? Has the history been that they always renew it, or do we have to beg for it and sometimes don't get it, or what? I don't mean us particularly, but I just mean communities in the state. I mean, is there
I recall that there was one situation where it was basically held hostage for some changes the state legislator wanted. There's always the threat of that. I think it has become a paper chase. You have to approve something 3 times to get it through the state. The state, in the end, I think, Peter, let's say it approves 99.9% of the things that are requested. So it's just become a part of the routine, and the governor is absolutely right to say, why don't we stop that and save everyone some money.
Right. Okay, well, I mean, that ought to be recognized then, is that it is not relief. That is to say, if it hardly ever gets denied, then it's not relief. So just that observation.
Yeah, I would say the battle has been about expansions, if you want to add a quarter of a percent,
right,
or add a new local tax. Although, in the last couple of years, I think Steve Aquario at NYSEC has been a little worried because even the extensions and expansions were used to be routinely approved if the local legislator carried it. And it's become more of a political football. So I think there's been a little more political tension about it in the last couple of years. But I think the firestorm, if they didn't extend the routine, continuation of a tax people are well used to, would be pretty extreme. So, but you're right, it's not a great gift.
Yeah, okay. So another question I had is this change in the required, whatever it's called, arbitrator declaration for uniform people, and the governor's changes in that. Is that going to change, save us money or not?
Good. Sure, yeah. Could.
I mean,
if it puts a
this
a
is lower than what we usually get, then. Is that right?
You never know what you're going to get, but it certainly takes some of the risk out of an arbitrator's decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I had one more, but I seem to have forgotten it, so we'll go on.
Brian?
Just a couple of quick things. I too, watched the great theater yesterday. I was kind of amused. I thought it was funny how Joni Mahoney saying, this is terrible for us, but I think they should do it. I think the city should do it. Whatever. With regards to what Peter was just talking about, I have some concerns with that in terms of the collective bargaining arrangement, and that I fear that we may very well not reach one of those two thresholds, and then does that 2% then almost get viewed as a starting point by or an automatic 2%? I would have rather them do something with the actual collective bargaining agreement or collective bargaining process than start delving into. It's almost as though we may very well get penalized for making the hard choices years ago and being fiscally responsible all right along, with some good fortune, along the way. But it was as Joy was pointed out many times, it's been primarily on the backs and with the cooperation of all of our unions that we're able to weather this storm, and now we can potentially be penalized for that. Because of this, so I do have some concerns. I'll be anxious to see. I just fear that we may not qualify either way. Mm-hmm. And then what's that do?
Good questions, Carol and Pam.
I'm not sure I see a big problem in not qualifying. It's good that we have been able to be as healthy as we have been. So. I don't know if I see it as a negative, if I understand correctly what you're saying. I had a question from Mike Stamm about the sales tax exemption. But the article that I read seemed to present it as though they were going to keep the ability to grant the exemption for heavy industrial and light industrial, and that was it, so that purposes such as affordable housing, commercials, I don't know if that neighborhood pride grocery store has come yet, but if they ever did, places like that, doesn't sound to me as though they would be eligible. And if, in fact, you're taking this to NYSEC and other places, is that especially the affordable housing portion, what's your read of that?
Again, the rules and regs haven't been written yet, and it hasn't been approved, but that's certainly what we believe. They're actually tying it to what the Excelsior tax credit program can do and what types of projects are eligible under that program. But it's my understanding, and Heather, correct me if I'm wrong, the IDAs will retain the ability under the governor's proposal to exempt the state portion of the sales tax for traditional manufacturing, high-tech research and development projects, back office projects, but not be able to exempt sales tax on downtown urban redevelopment projects, housing projects, some of the things that are very important to our community. The downtown density projects, for example, in the future would not be able to receive that incentive.
Okay, well, that's not a great implication for the kinds of things we're trying to do to help you with your structural deficit, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
I don't see much of an impact there, but it's you know, part of our toolbox will be eliminated if this proposal goes through. And frankly, for even the traditional high-tech and manufacturing projects to get the state portion of the sales tax under the governor's proposal, the bureaucracy associated with it is probably would make it not worth the effort or make it very unpredictable.
Okay, and one more question. Are they saying anything about our ability to exempt the local property tax portion of any of these projects?
No, they're not.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Pam?
iPad.
All right. All set with Joe's report? Joe, one other question. Ignoring any of this idea about the pension smoothing, the bump from the economic downturn, we're expecting that our pension costs would come down after 2014. Is that right?
That's my recollection. I know we have at least one more. I think it's just one more year of increases, and then the projections have it gradually going back down.
So when we do that calculation, I think that's an important factor because,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, people have been screaming about pensions, but we know it's been this really impossible anomaly, but still an anomaly. Okay. Thanks very much. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
No report.
All right. Thank you, David. Finance Director.
I just want to report that last meeting you approved the contract bids on the construction for the new legislative facilities. So it's my intention to negotiate a sale of a bond with one of our banking partners in the next week or two to finance this situation. The law allows anything under $1 million you can negotiate directly without having to advertise. And because we have a financing that comes due in July, it's more practical not to issue a bid on the bonds formally and stretch it out for a year so we can have some flexibility in refinancing the notes that come due in July.
Thank you, David. Any questions? All right.
Was this from him?
Yes. I put it on your desk because on tonight's agenda is the annual review of the county's investment policy. And when I say banking partners, one of those banking partners will negotiate a financing of this. And what I distributed there was, a periodic look at where our money is and the proportionality of it, because the proposal that's in, that we made a modification in the what is authorized, the percentage authorized to be held at any one particular institution.
David, do you have another copy of that? I didn't get one. Any other questions? Thank you, David. I'll go to the consent agenda. And then everybody in the back of the room, we can get quickly to the TCAD issue. If you have anything to be pulled off, just let me know. Revised Resolution A, ID 3962, authorizing public hearing on Fact Finder's Report, Deputy Sheriff's Association contract. Revised Resolution B, 3801, adoption Adoption of Revised Administrative Policy 0101, Preparing Resolutions. Resolution C, ID 3943, Adoption of Revised Administrative Policy 0102, Preparing Local Laws. Resolution D, ID 3939, Adoption of List of Designated Officers and Employees Required to Fill an Annual Financial Disclosure Form. Resolution E, ID 3952, Correction of Taxes. Corrected title on Resolution 4, ID 3953, it should say Correction of Taxes 503689. Resolution G, revised, ID 3967, resolution...
Off.
Resolution G is off. And then I have a couple of appointments to the Local Zone Administration Board, David Sprague, Environmental Management Council, John Dennis, and to the Soil and Water Conservation District, Pat Pryor and Frank Proto. Is there a motion on the consent agenda? Moved by Carol, seconded by Will. All in favor, please raise your hands.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, I would like to go to the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, which is the last time, we'll, at least in this term, hear from that particular committee, and go to Will for Resolution H.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you to folks get back that have been waiting for this very patiently. I'll be calling them momentarily. But I would like to adopt a Resolution H, which is adopting the report of the Tompkins County Area Development TCAD Funding Task Force, and I so move.
Seconded by Leslin. Discussion.
And this is there's a lot to be said. I know you've got a lot of documents, but Art Pierce has been waiting very patiently. And Art, I don't know if you wanted to say a few words. I don't mean to surprise you, but Art chaired the task force that guided this through. And Art, did you want to? He just did an amazing job. And,
sure, I'd be glad to say a couple words. The I think at least half of you were either in those meetings or have seen a report about this already, and I hope the other half have had a chance to look at this report. It's rather detailed, and the reason it is that we covered a lot of information. This group of 17 people, we met five different evenings over the course of a month and a half, and spent considerable amount of time hashing out what was potentially a pretty difficult situation to come up with a solution that worked for the majority of people. And in fact, I think what we came up with was a solution that works for everybody. We ended up with a unanimous approval of this proposal. As we've said before, I don't think any one group was thrilled with it. Nobody got what they would have liked if they could have written it themselves. It's a genuine compromise. We spent a lot of time working as a group to review what TCAD does in the county and what we need in terms of economic development. And because of the known orientation of that we were going to look at the room tax money, we spent a lot of time with the tourism people and understanding what they do and how that money is spent. We didn't evaluate either the tourism programs or TCAD. What we did is we became informed as a group. So I think by the time we were done, all 17 of us had a pretty good handle on what's happening. And when we got towards the very final stage, we were fortunate to have a small group convened as a ad hoc team, and I think we should mention that Gene McFeeters played a real big part in working that compromise proposal through. So what's before you tonight is indeed a compromise. What it does is it allows for the ongoing funding of TCAD through 2018 with a third of their annual budget coming from the county, and that county portion being made up of both room tax revenues and reserves, and county reserves and tax revenues. And it that mix changes over time. So it's phased in, it's gradual, and with the anticipated growth in room tax revenue, which is fairly well documented at this point. They've had a good track record over the last 5 or 6 years, even through a difficult situation. And going forward, there are several hotels on stream that will bring new revenues in. And so I think we ended up with a phased-in approach that, with that anticipated growth in revenue, the portion of the room tax revenue that's being diverted to TCAD really, I don't think, will have any meaningful negative impact on our tourism programs, which I believe all 17 people in the meeting, there were some that had a great appreciation for that work ahead of time, and I think by the end we all had a pretty good feel for the value of those tourism programs. And in a similar fashion, TCAD. I think some people, by the time we were done, had a better understanding of what TCAD does and what it can do, not only for manufacturing and light industry and the traditional things that it's focused on, but also for tourism-related projects. They have done a lot for hotels in the past, and they've done work advising entrepreneurs, and I think going forward there's a renewed commitment to doing that. So that's part of this understanding, and I think it's spelled out in your proposal. So there is an actual graph or a table that shows the phased-in funding under this project, under this proposal, and it supplies TCAD with what it needs, and I think it doesn't place an undue burden on any of the other sources. So thank you. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Art. And, it was, I hope it was everything that you expected or less, perhaps, when you said yes to chairing the task force. It was, we really leaned on you maybe a little bit, and we're very, very pleased that you did that for us, and it was a great contribution. And I think when we came to that agreement and realized we could cancel the last scheduled meeting, nobody was happier than you were. So, but it was beautifully managed, and we really appreciate it. So any discussion or questions, anything else? Dooley, then Carol, then Jim.
First, a trivial one. Mr. Pierce referred to 17 members of the task force. Our resolution in line 44 says 14 person, and I wondered if that is a real discrepancy or not.
Joe?
There are 14 voting members, and then three, we call them ex officio,
okay,
non-voting members, myself, Michael Stamm, and a representative of the hotels.
Thank you. I feel much better now. The other question I had, again, is just an informational one. On line 12, it says TCAD's board includes four county representatives, and I just was wondering who the four county representatives were on TCAD board.
Will?
That is actual factual error, and thank you, Dooley. I was going to say it a little bit later, but that number is actually three. That's Joe, at this point, Joe, Martha, and myself.
Okay.
So that
No, the bylaws were just changed, Will, so it's now the – go ahead, Michael.
We do have four people that associated with county government on our board. It's the chair of the county board, the chair of the relevant committee that we report to, which is now Will Burbank's Economic Development Committee. We've always had Ed Marks, the planning commissioner, and we've just recently added the county administrator, Joe Mariana. So
okay.
There are four people.
My apologies.
Thank you.
Okay, Carol, and then I'm sorry, Jim, were you the other
person? No, I think Carol was.
Yeah, Carol's next. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody involved in this. Art, you did an incredible job. Gene McPheeters, I mean, a lot of, you know, most of you know of my keen interest in the tourism program and my own also keen interest in economic development as a former economic development planner myself. It's an area I take a big interest in, and these are all factors and sectors of economic of the economy in Tompkins County that are really important. And I was out for the count during this period, but I still could talk and on the phone, and I would get reports from various people on this committee from both, you know, all sides. And in the beginning, it was just incredible to hear in the beginning this chasm that stretched and that got wider or deeper, and then to watch it sort of come together to a solution that really was a true compromise. So I think that everybody did a really good job. I think the time value of money, assuming that still holds, is going to help a lot. I think the solution depends some on that. I had some concerns along the way that this not be mistaken for having done a strategic look at economic development in Tompkins County. I'm looking forward to the new committee to do that, and I had some concerns that we've made clear in here that everybody recognizes that, but the committee didn't see fit to do that. I think it's fine as long as we all understand and don't refer to this in the future as, well, that economic development study we did, that's not what this was. This was a funding study. I do have some interest in hearing in this venue from Mike a little bit about sort of, you know, how do you see us, you know, what do you see changing? How do you see us working together for economic development? And we heard a little bit about tourism and the tourism program and the kinds of things that the TCAD sees working more closely with the tourism program. But in terms of the county and the change that this is in terms of how we're working together, I appreciated your coming to talk to me personally, but other people might want to hear some of that if you're so inclined.
Sure. What she's talking to is that Michael prevailed on Michael to go to Carol's house for a meeting. I'm not sure that's a promise for any legislator at any time, but anybody else whose back is broken, probably can arrange that. So.
I refuse to go to Frank Proto's house. But
a good idea.
Other than that, I think one of the big differences will be the amount of time that TCAD spends interacting with the county board. And this is what I said at Will's last committee meeting, in that because TCAD was receiving so little funding from directly from the county, I think we got a little bit lazy, I would say, and didn't spend the time we should have spent interacting with the county board about economic development issues. So we look forward to the newly named Economic Development Committee and engaging in a mutual discussion about economic development goals and strategies. And I know many of you have some great ideas, and we'd like to talk about those and talk about what TCAD can do working with the county board on developing a strategy and implementing that strategy.
Thanks very much, Michael. Jim and then Frank.
Yes. Let me just mention, and others have, Gene McFeeters, certainly Art, Joe, Mike Stam, Sue Stein, people who came in the room and made that all happen. And, you know, I give a huge amount of credit to Gene McFeeters to kind of molding this deal together and making it, putting out a suggestion that everyone could support. And I agree with Art. Not everyone got what they wanted, but that always been my sense that if you put 17 people in a room and everybody doesn't get something, that get everything they want, but you can still make a deal, that's a good thing. And I think moving forward, it's going to benefit the county in the long term.
Thanks, Jim. Frank?
Thanks, Martha. It's my understanding that with the wonderful job that Art did, that his next assignment is to go to Washington and help negotiate the debt limit crisis.
That's done.
Only they can take Gene with them, I think.
The temporary one is done, but, you know. But I think there needs to be a little clarity and with regard to Mike's statement about coming to Slaterville. I certainly don't want to break my back to encourage you to come, but Mike was mentioning strategic planning and expanding. What he meant was continuing and broadening emphasis that TCAD will now undertake is agriculture and business development in agriculture. So the meeting will not take place at my home. It'll take place in the barn. And that's what he really meant. So, and if any of the rest of you, Art, would like to stop out, you're certainly welcome. We can set that up.
Thank you, Frank. Kathy Luce.
And what, you're going to ask them to bring their shovels?
Forks.
Okay.
Forks.
You're serving horses.
I want to start out by thanking Jonathan Wood for the memo that he wrote about this. Part of what's not being spoken here that I'm going to allude to, being a former chair of PDEQ, is that there was concern on every angle of this on the part of the folks that put together the tourism grants. There's been a concern that represents to desperate legislators a pot of money that can be seized under what seems appropriate circumstances to the legislators at the time. And so for TCAD, its very survival in terms of supporting economic development in the county is at stake, and we needed to step up with a stable funding source. Those two things don't need to be diametrically opposed, and that was well proven by the ABLE group. What I was concerned about was that this might be in the future utilized as a precedent for assuming that the tourism money could be used for airport, highways, and other things about which there is much controversy as to whether their tourism use warrants raiding the fund. So I was real pleased to see that Jonathan wrote a memo about this, and in it there's a clear interpretation from him about the law, a citing of which law it is, and saying what his reasoning is. I think this is really important. He also attached a executive summary, the final report, and the memo from Jonathan and Joe. I think these are really important. I don't know the official way to get this attached to the resolution, but I want it in the public record. So if somebody that's very process-minded can help me find the best way to get this done, I think it'll serve us well in the future, because I promise you that later, the way things are going, we're going to be looking at that money again. And I would like for us not to have to reinvent the wheel. And the relatively, well, exemplary way that this was handled, I think, will serve as a model for future discussions about this. And I also think that for historical reference, it's essential, especially in terms of how the law was interpreted at this moment. So
Now, all this is in your red folder on the left side. Kathy, can this all be put into the minutes? Is this too much?
What I want is for it to be part of the resolution, if possible, simply because of the historical information and the interpretation and how it actually cites the law. I think these are important things. In all of our other paperwork, we just talk about the law, but we don't say which law. And I think, you know, a while from now, it might help somebody to be able to just have that there, especially if somebody's researching this with no, inner knowledge or personal experience of it. So instead of asking that it be in the minutes, I'm trying to get it attached to the resolution. So if somebody pulls up the resolution, they can find this memo.
So that can be done? Okay.
If y'all so agree.
The memo and then the two pieces from... One from Michael and one from Joe. That's okay? Okay. Thank you. That'll be done. Anything else? Ready to vote? All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand.
Aye.
That looks unanimous to me. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Great job, y'all.
Thank you again, Michael, Heather, and especially Art. We really appreciate it. This is, I think, setting a great course for the future. And as and embedded in the report, of course, is that this has to be relooked at in 5 years. So we'll be calling. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Will, I was just about to have you go to the rest of your report, but you're leaving. Okay.
I'll just have to know.
Okay. All right, Will,
why don't you
finish up your report? You have another resolution and an appointment, and I don't know if you have more of a report.
So the other was a two things. Authorizing a multi-year, this is a resolution I, authorizing multi-year aquifer study agreement for the Enfield Creek Aquifer in the town of Enfield, pending budget, capital, and personnel committee action, which I assume happened, yes?
It did happen.
Okay, and moved and seconded,
so move.
Seconded by Kathy Luce. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor? This is a regular vote?
Aye.
Okay, all in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
And the final is something that was an advisory board appointment, and we're it's not on a consent because there was a divided vote in committee. And that is our representative to the Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit TCAT Board of Directors. And the majority of the committee voted to nominate Peter Stein, and I would so move.
Seconded by Carol. Okay. Any discussion?
And if I could just say, we were actually... I was very pleased that we had two legislators that brought a lot of experience and were indicated a willingness to do this. I know we on the committee gave a lot of thought to the to who would best at this time be the person to move forward. But if I could have moved both forward, I would have done. The reason I chose Peter, I supported Peter, was that. Well, we all know Peter, when he takes a job and throws himself into it, he does so with great vigor. He's an avid user of the bus system, which is important. And to my mind, one of the most important aspects that Peter brings is that he happens to live in the town of Ithaca, which at this point is putting about $50,000 a year into the system, does not currently have a seat on the on the table, and this will be informal representation that I think would be very important. So that is why I thought it was good.
Thank you, Will. We got Kathy Luce and then Mike.
Hi. I was on PDAC at that time, and I voted against this. I'm currently serving on TCAT as a director, and I put a long and impassioned statement in the PDEQ minutes, which some of you may have had the opportunity to read. I'm going to summarize it here. I've been on TCAT for a long time. It was my first interest, even before I got interested in the legislature. Public transit is so important to working people. It's essential. It's how we get to our jobs. It makes it possible for us to make appointments when we don't have traditional transportation, and as a matter of fact, we're moving away from everybody having a car. I felt when I was appointed that it was very important, and I still feel that even more important now that we have a representative on the board that's an active member of a labor union. I am. I'm also very much interested in the downtown density that's going to be occurring, and it is occurring right now. And I felt that my contribution on TCAT, I'm a former chair, I've been a chair of committees, is very important, especially in terms of institutional knowledge. We've been through a lot of change at TCAT. We've changed executive directors. We've had a change from a not exactly a public benefit corporation, but we've gone to a nonprofit that unionized under the UAW. I have working relationships with those unions, and I believe that's been very important. I believe it's still very important. When we talk about time for moving on, I always find that of interest, especially when it's in the last year of a third four-year term. I would like to serve another year. I believe that in this time, when we're talking about building a new facility, it's really important to have somebody that has a knowledge of the players, of the culture of the organization, and of the actual facility. I've got facilities knowledge. I want to say to you that implicit in all this is a criticism of my lack of attendance at meetings, or explicit in some cases. And I have to say, it's true. I was injured at work. I missed a bunch of meetings. I have even missed meetings before, as my friend Frank was happy to report at previous meetings. I have to say to you, the life of a working person isn't easy. We use our bodies as our tool. Part of what's going on with me right now is I'm considering a career change. And I would hope that that wouldn't be used against me. My dedication to TCAT and to the legislature has never waned. I do keep up with things through telephone calls and checking in with people. I think that it's part of the cycle of life, and I would hate to think that my health situation would be an opportunity for someone else. The fact that Peter rides the bus all the time is commendable. Working two jobs, I really don't have the leisure to run from one meeting to another or walk really fast, because sometimes I only have 15 minutes to get the sheetrock dust and the insect dust out of my hair and come to a meeting, and I'd like to be presentable. I would love to have that leisure, and as I just turned 60, I think soon I may be able to retire, and then I'll be able to go to all those wonderful events during the day that I haven't been able to go to, the congratulations, the thank yous, the ribbon cuttings, and those things. If my attendance has been a problem, I think that I wear it as a badge of honor, because I am a working person, and you need me on the TCAT board, especially now. If I'm speaking strongly, it's because I feel very strongly about this, and I can tell you that I believe that other members of the TCAT board and that members of the organization appreciate my work. I'm sorry that I have to be here to toot my own horn. I think it's unfortunate that TCAT would nominate someone else when I've got the experience, and if you're going to be running people out of leadership, there are other people with more time on the board than I have. So I've made my case. We'll see how it goes, and as always, I want to tell you, I always appreciate the opportunity to serve. This year, I don't have any chairmanships. I have plenty of time, and right now, I'm off of my job at TCAT because of this injury. I've got lots of time. I would really like to be able to apply my energies, my skills, and my experience to the TCAT board this year, and I'm asking you, as my colleagues, to support my reappointment.
Mike, and then then Dooley and Pam.
Peter will do a good job. I have no doubt about that. But I think that Kathy deserves to be reappointed here. I think the point she made that she doesn't have a chairmanship, she has some more time, and the fact that she has told us that she's back after experiencing a sad injury and illness here for a long time, and other people have missed a lot of meetings in the past year, I think that her experience on that is important, and I think that she's served us in the past, and I think she should be reappointed.
Dooley and then Pam and Leslie.
Well, I apologize for not doing my homework. I don't know who our representatives are on the TCAT board. I don't know how many TCAT board members have been there a long time to bring institutional memory. So could someone tell me more?
Well, Pam and Frank are our other representatives. Kathy, I think you've been there since you came on the legislature, since 2000. Since 2000, since before you were on the legislature. The other representatives, Frank, can you help us on the who's there for the city and the Cornell?
The city, there are nine members. Three recommended by the city, three recommended by Cornell, and three recommended by this board. Pam, Kathy, and I are currently the three recommended by this board. Seth Murtaugh from the city, Jennifer Dotson from the city, and Bill Gray from the city. The three from Cornell are Q. Wang from Transportation, David Howe, also from Transportation, and Kelly, whose last name just went by me, Pat.
I
She is the deputy treasurer of the university. She's the third in command for the finance area at Cornell.
And student services.
Yeah, she's an assistant to Susan Murphy, I think. It used to be Hank DeLay just went off. In the old days, Bill went. I'm sorry, not Bill. Yeah, Bill went.
Cornell is all new, it sounds like. Yeah. So the institutional memory resides with whom?
With those two. And Bill. Bill, one city representative.
With Bill Gray.
And Frank and Kathy.
Yeah.
You've been there a long time, Pam.
Bill was on the original committee with me that formed it.
Right.
Okay.
So
right.
He's been there a long time.
Right.
Well,
thank you.
Bill, myself, and Nancy Oltz are the surviving members of what was called the Operations Committee that Jonathan just mentioned.
Dooley, was that it?
Yeah, thank you.
Is that okay?
Okay, Pam, and that last one?
Well, I think that both Peter and Kathy would be great representatives for us. I think Kathy has done a good job for us. She has had problems. She's had illnesses for the last period of time. And I think I am in support of reappointing Kathy because I do think she does a good job. I think she has been involved in TCAP for a very long time. And for the reason that Dooley just sort of raised here is that TCAP board is in a period of transition right now. We have the majority of the board has been just appointed to the board in the last couple of years. And they're with a long-term memory. Bill Gray was just recently reappointed. He hasn't been on the board for a long time. He was in the early days on the board. But Kathy provides that kind of institutional memory that right now I think is needed there. So even though Peter, I know, rides the transportation system, and I would be perfectly happy to have him on the board with me. I think he'd do a good job. I think that we should support Kathy in this position right now.
Leslie, and Jim, and Pat.
Thank you. Frank, may I ask you a question?
You can ask.
And that is, of the nine people on the TCAD board, how many are people of color?
At this point, Kathy.
And Q.
And Q, yeah.
Okay. So.
Are you asking how many are minorities?
How many are people of color?
Oh, okay.
Right. So I would really hope, actually, Will, when you were speaking is when I raised my hand, when Martha didn't see me at that point. Because just hearing your description of, you know, how Peter throws himself into what he's doing, and he certainly does, we all know that, sort of made me feel like there was a suggestion, although you didn't say that, but one can read that into it, of the opposite for Kathy. And I don't believe that to be true.
No.
Thank you. I want to make sure that was clarified and people out there not saying that guy over there said, things about Kathy. I would certainly hope that we would reappoint Kathy to this board. For me, I look at it from a diversity perspective. We've had some meetings with members of the TCAD staff and, some of us in the public as they deal with, issues of diversity and inclusion and some of the initiatives that they want to move forward. And I know that it is something that Kathy brings a lot of passion to, especially also being a member of our Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee and some of the things that we've been talking about in terms of the other entities and organizations and departments that receive funding from the county and ways that we would like to see more work done around that. And so I would appreciate seeing Kathy continue to be there as the another person of color to add to the diversity of that board. I think is very important and something that we should not sneeze on.
aside from the fact that she has, as Martha said before she even joined this legislature, I think, being on the board and serving well, including chairing that board at some point. So I think it would be unfortunate if the message sent to her is that that service and that experience is not valued. And that's what it would feel like if I were in her shoes, if I were not reappointed, if she was not reappointed to this board. And so I would urge all my colleagues to really think about that and appointing, reappointing Kathy. Nothing against Peter, but man, this, you're in a lot of stuff. And we appreciate it. A lot of liaison roles, Peter, and you do a lot and do it well. And so I would hope that we would allow Kathy to continue in this role. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Jim, then Pat, and I'd like to say something.
I believe we have a resolution on the floor with a recommendation from the committee 3-1 to support Peter to have this position. Am I wrong in saying that you would first have to vote this person down and then put up a new resolution if you wanted to change, or is it possible? Well, what would happen, Jonathan?
I think the discussion is relevant because people are saying, well, if not Peter, then who else? So we did check this out with Jonathan. Go ahead.
No, in my view, I mean, you're right. You have a resolution pending having appointing one individual. I believe if people would like another person, someone would move to amend, and someone would second that and then vote on the amendment. I do not believe it would be necessary to vote on the first.
Okay. Candidate. I have a second question. Are the other two members of the board, Pam and Frank, are you on alternating terms? In other words, how long, when you get appointed?
It's a three-year appointment. Term, and somebody gets appointed, every
year. And every year, one of them comes up, and last year, Pam's term was ended, and we appointed you. So you're entering your second year of this term.
Frank, actually, came up
last time.
Last one, okay. So every year.
I'm up next year.
Okay. Well, I was not aware of how that worked, and pardon me for not following those things. But
and the
it might be a time to think about a whole group of new people over the next few years.
Okay, and the TCAT board cannot appoint anybody except who we recommend. That is their.
That's not true.
That's what the attorney told me the other day on the phone. Yes, that they're required to accept our recommendation. Well, Susan Brock is their attorney. That's what she said. I've got Pat and Carol and Pam and myself. Pat.
This was a tough situation when it came up in the committee, that both Peter was interested and Kathy wanted to be reappointed. And I put a great deal of thought into it. As Kathy has mentioned, there has been some concern expressed about Kathy's attendance at the TCAP board meeting. I think that we all are very respectful of the fact that Kathy has had medical issues that have prevented her from attending some of the meetings this year. So I think my sense, anyway, of the committee is that we tried very hard to set that whole issue of attendance aside, even though it was raised by some in some discussion as a question. But because we realized what was going on, we tried to sort of say that's not really a good way to evaluate this situation. So I think we tried not to let that influence our thinking. I did support moving ahead with Peter, with Peter's recommendation. And for me, as someone who lives in a rural area, I'm very proud to live in a county that has a kind of transportation system that we have here with our TCAP system. We've won all sorts of awards. But I'm also very aware that there are still a lot of people like myself who are out there in parts of the county for whom, you know, riding public transportation, the TCAT system is just not an option for us. There's not a stop anywhere close to my house. I would have to go a couple miles at the least, and then there would be no place to park my car if I wanted to, you know, go there. If I found somebody that would let me leave my car, it would be out in the open all day long. It's just not a practical thing for many of us that live in the country. Now, I fully understand that also, because I've listened to the financial constraints that TCAT is operating under, and I know they do a tremendous job given their financial constraints that are very real. Nevertheless, I really want to make sure that our representation on that board is there, that the voice of those of us who do not yet have access to TCAT is well represented. And so I am concerned that in looking at diversity, as Leslie mentioned, another way of looking at diversity is geographically, and the kind of access people have depending on where they live. Of the elected, as I understand it, the elected members of the TCAT board, I mean from municipalities, we have three representatives from the city of Ithaca, and we have had three representatives from Tompkins County. I wasn't aware that we had a fourth one from the county. I thought we had three.
No, we have three.
We have three.
But we have four county people. Isn't that what we just said?
No, that was Mike's stamp on that.
Oh, okay. I take that back then. That, with the exception of Frank, who can represent sort of that rural viewpoint, everyone else on the board that's elected official is from the city. And although Peter does not live in the country in the same sense that I do, he at least does represent a suburban area in terms of the experience that he's had. And it just felt to me, and it still feels to me, that it would be a more balanced kind of representation to have from among us, those of us that are going to be representing the county, to have someone from the city, someone from the suburban areas, and someone from the rural areas. And I hear what you're saying about institutional memory and history, and that's all well and good, but I think we all know how qualified Peter would be to step in and quickly pick up on whatever it was that he would need to learn to participate on this board. And I just think that it would give a better general kind of representation of the diversity of the ridership of TCAT if he were on the board. So I will support Peter.
I'll get Carol and then Pam.
Yeah, I think it's really unfortunate that this has become such a controversial appointment. This legislature prides itself on providing representation, liaisonship, is that a word, to many, many, many groups in town and boards. I've got a list in front of me from the new PEAK committee, the PDEC, still says PDEC on the front, nine different liaisons that we've got to find to those committees. Frank's, Health and Human Services has probably 16 or something. We have many boards, and the kind of expertise, Kathy, that you bring, and the union representation, that you're a person of color, boy, all of those boards need that. And to just bullet to this one doesn't make sense to me. And for me in particular, this is one that that I have some questions about the ways in which it may be have fallen into we've always done it this way kinds of ways of thinking, particularly about routes. In my district, most of my district, you can't take a bus unless you're going to the campuses. So it that's a problem. And I think this one in particular just needs some fresh eyes and new thinking, and that the expertise that we try to share around should be turned over. And I think that we all benefit, our decisions on lots of things benefit by us changing around these positions. This isn't the only one that I feel that way about. And I hope that we'll continue to do so. And that was the reason for my seconding of Peter, and why I would vote that way tonight. And it has nothing to do with feeling that any of us couldn't expertly represent, and that Kathy hasn't expertly represented us for many, many, many years. So thank you.
Thank you. Pam, then Leslie.
Well, I would just like to point out that unlike any board that I have been on for the years that I've been on the county legislature, or frankly on any for the city common council either, the TCAT board is the most unique because it isn't just a made up of county employees, county legislators. It's a coalition. It's three different entities, two public, one private, come together to create a transportation system. And it is basically an institution that is based, the foundation of which is good faith. And that good faith has developed over years as trust has grown, as people have become sure that the other partners are in this for the long haul and are committed to the organization, to TCAT. And I think, Carol, that TCAT has fresh eyes. They brought in from Seattle, I believe, when they did the transportation demand study. They put together a comprehensive plan on that. It was professionalized. People who were looking at what we were. So, but it is an organization that is built on what we have created, on the foundation of trust, and that comes not from having the same people on the board all the time. It comes from having continuity, though, from time to time. And I think that right now we are in a period where we have three new people from Cornell, and we have one new person from the city. I think that it is a time when we start with yet another person who has no institutional memory, when and substituting them for somebody who has substantial institutional memory is important. I think that we can't just throw people off and pull people onto the TCAT board. You're not going to have the kind of transportation system that we have right now by doing that. And I think it would not serve us any good to see that as a goal for us to do. And I just think at this particular time that it's particularly important because of all the change that TCAT has already experienced in the last couple of years. So I would like to also move to amend the resolution to substitute Kathy Herrera's name, Kathy Luz Herrera, for Peter Stein.
Is there a second to that motion? Second by Leslin. So, all right, Leslin had your hand up anyway, and then Brian, then I'll open up to the other comments on the amendment. So.
I just want to ask the members of the TCAT board right now a quick question. Pam, how many years have you been on the board?
I've been on, let's see, 9 years.
You. And you, Frank?
A couple of more than Pam, probably. A
lot more.
15.
Yeah.
So before it was the TCAT board.
It was the operations committee. Barbara Blanchard, myself, Frank Ligori, Bill Mobbs.
Okay, Frank, we don't need everybody. But Pam,
you have some institutional memory. We can tell, Frank.
Pam, you were there as a city rep,
right?
And then got elected to this body and stayed on
Right, I was the city rep as a county. I was on the board as a city rep.
As city rep, and then when you came here, you just stayed on as county,
as
county city, representative.
As a city rep.
As a city rep.
And then, right, and then when Dick Booth left, I moved into
Oh, yeah, Dick. Dick was the other county.
Yeah, confused me. Right. And who chairs right now? Your friend?
Right now, Jennifer.
Jennifer Dodson.
Jennifer Dodson.
I just finished my year.
You just finished your year.
It's
your
a rotating chair, Leslyn. There's a different chair every year, and it becomes one. We each have been chairs more than once because of the rotation. Well, some of that is because of the timing on the sequence. We've had people resign, like anyway.
Thank you. I asked that question because, Carol, you talk about the need for fresh eyes and people being on the board for a while, and everybody is talking about how long they've been on the board for a while, so it's not just Kathy who's been there for a while.
Okay, Brian and then Jim, and this is, we're on the amendment, actually, so.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And sorry I can't contribute to the history lesson. I just can't.
Make it up.
I just wanted to point out for, if it's important for people to know the composition of the board and how many years they've been on there and who are rookies and who aren't, it just occurred to me, you mentioned Bill Gray as one that has been on there a long time, but I believe he's retiring. So he's going to be...
No, the city is letting him, is having him continue. Which, for example...
What's that?
That's a lifetime of...
He just got appointed to that board, and he asked to be kept on the board, even though he's retiring. So the city is allowing him to stay on the board, even though he's retired.
For example, Hank DeLay stayed on as a Cornell representative after he had retired from Cornell. It's not a requirement that they're elected, it's just that the elected, in the case of the city and the county, that the elected body recommends that person.
Okay. I just naturally figured if he was going to retire, he wasn't going to drive down from Syracuse to
go to a meeting.
So he's staying on.
God bless him.
Okay. Jim and then Mike.
I think the argument for longevity and institutional memory was made quite well by Pam. Between the two of them, they have 25 years experience, so adding a new member would really not diminish the institutional memory too much, I don't think.
Mike.
I'd like to call a question, please.
Second, but is there a second for that? Second by Brian. This is the question on the amendment. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes 13-2, so we're now voting on the amendment, whether to substitute Kathy Luz Herrera's name for Peter Stein's name. All in favor of that, please raise your hand.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? Somebody's hand I didn't see. I had 5 in favor of the amendment. Keep your hands up, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, 5-10, the amendment fails. We're back to the main motion. Any other discussion?
No.
We can vote, ready to vote. So the resolution, the motion is to appoint, to recommend Peter Stein to be the TCAT representative from the county. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? That passes 12-3.
Thank you, everybody, for your comments and consideration. I appreciate it.
And, Kathy, thank you very much for your long service. I didn't realize it was since 2000. That's distinguished service, and we deeply appreciate it. And as Carol said, there are many, many good places to serve. So Frank's got a list for you. Let us take a 10-minute recess, please. Please be back in your chairs at 10 of. Thank you.